morning, my focus is on living in the midst of love supreme. It's something I've been focusing a lot more on lately, the grace and the love that is the essence of our being. It's the essence of creation itself. And I've become more attuned to this. And there's this consistency that I'm aware of, this awakening. It's through the years as I study these teachings and practice them and live them, there is an ongoing consistency of awakening. I awaken, I'm like, oh, life, it's so amazing, it's so beautiful, it's so glorious, and God is so divine and precious. And then all of a sudden, there's this new awakening. And so I question, will I ever be fully awake? I don't know. Because there's obviously this continuum of becoming more conscious in truth and in this absolute love and grace. And I realize that it is this time, this planet, its purpose is for me, is to learn. Everything else is wonderful, but it's the learning that is the absolute. That gives me the reason to just say, oh, I have something to do. I never find myself saying, oh, well, what to do? Or I feel not needed. Or so it's like, no. That's that earthly stuff, that limited thinking. No, there's so much to embrace and to live and to unfold unto. You know, I mean, God is infinite, omnipresent. And when you hear the word, as I see it, I take that from the Bible, they say in the midst. It's talking about in the midst, within, without, everything, the allness, my whole being. And lately, as I've been looking into this, I've been looking, so I talk about this thing of people getting caught up in duality, which is error thinking. There is no duality. It's not about right and wrong or good or bad. And often right in the Garden of Eden, they talk about the tree of knowledge of good and evil, which is the tree of knowledge of duality, or the tree of life. And it's difficult to sit in the tree of knowledge of good and evil and try and understand this stuff, because then it's all about duality and it just doesn't work. You know? That infinite source just is. It's just being. And we are in the image and likeness. So that means the more that I can practice just living and just being, not being caught up in all the debates and arguments and all those things that are so easy to become distracted unto and pull away from this. I often think of even of Jesus. There were people who thought that he was supposed to just get the Romans out of the neighborhood and restore everything back to the government that they once knew, and everything would just be fun, wonderful. Well, that was not his plan. But he did say, let that which belongs to Caesar be with Caesar, and that which is of God be with God. You know? And I continue to understand that better and better and more. Because I think to not do that is to just go spinning in circles in one's life, just spin in circles all over, you know, just it never ends. Look at the history books. Where does it ever end? It doesn't. So when I look deeper into this, as of lately I've been looking into a couple books out of the Bible, which Acts and Ephesians, which was the darkest time of Paul's service here on earth, where he was imprisoned, and Luke, who was a physician from Greece, had been walking with him for a very long time. Paul was his mentor. And you think, well, here's a guy, he was hailed as a great physician. He could have just stayed in Greece and just had this phenomenal career. But he chose to walk with Paul instead. And during Paul's entire imprisonment, Luke stayed with him and visited him and was even imprisoned a little bit during that time himself, because he was considered quite a rebel rouser. and from both sides of it, because even the Christians back in the day were a little upset with him because he was a Gentile, and that whole new movement was having a hard time accepting that folks from other countries and other ways of life could also be a part of this. There was a great awakening, you could say, taking place. And so here was Luke staying with Paul, in which he wrote the entire book of Acts. And in this time of trouble, a lot of folks that were following these ways and these teachings felt that they needed to rebel, to seek revenge, to take up arms. And even Luke had struggled with this, and he had gone to Paul. And Paul, having been beaten, whipped, imprisoned, just said to him, "No, no, no, it is about grace and love. If we don't do that, then we're not doing this. We have walked away from this. You know, and I've come to learn that if I get caught up in that, I'll put it this way, a good person can be caught up in the darkness because they're struggling to combat the darkness. But they are living in the darkness. They have walked away from the light, no matter how wonderful and beautiful they are. You know, this moves beyond personality. And in this time, it was very reassuring to Luke to hear this. And it comes down to this thing that we might call negative, really is not. Often the negative is a transition period. I'm transcending into something else. And I may get caught up and go, "Oh, this is a very difficult time." And it may even be transcending from something that's been wonderful in my life, but I have had another awakening, and so now that is not really working very well in my life at all anymore. And so I'm even moving away from something that has been good. Because I've just, in my own way, I've evolved, or I've had that involution that has brought me to a new place. And so, rather than seeing it as this, "Oh, this, I can't believe this is happening again. Oh, how am I going to deal with this?" Well, in these teachings, we know how to deal with it. We know. We turn within. That an infinite source, that which is who we are also. We turn to that very beginning of grace and love. And through that comes the compassion, comes the wisdom, comes the faith of such divine order that it's amazing. So, wow, I get it. I don't understand, or maybe I can't put it in words, but I understand the faith. I understand it. As I was looking to have a couple other stories to tell in and of this, I went and had my own experience, and I never have a problem talking about my personal struggles, because this is all about growing. Well, in the past, just this past week, I wound up in the hospital and from a stomach virus that just wouldn't go away. And as I was on my way, because I had called the doctor, and he had said, they called back and just said, "The doctor has called ahead for you to go to the emergency, and you're already be, you know, everything will be." So we're heading to the emergency, my wife and I. She's driving, because I'm pretty much running on nothing. And we're stuck during rush hour, so there was no getting there in a hurry. So, you know, practice a little patience, you know. All is well, all is good. But as we got there, everything began to just come into order. But on the way there, I'd skipped the part. On the way there, I was thinking how sometimes, you know, as a practitioner, things work really well, and I've been able to help other people, been able to help myself. I'd had really bad knee problems. Bad, I mean, painful, and I surrendered it over. Everything, emotionally, mentally, physically, just surrender everything. And, you know, the knee problems, they're gone. And I know how that happened. I can't explain to you how it happens, but my faith knows how that happened. And it didn't happen overnight. It took months. You know, I think of Charles Fillmore, right, where he had one leg was longer than the other. What was it, like 5 years for that to, in his, as an adult. It took about 5 years, and the one leg grew proportion to the other. Or with his wife, who was terminally ill, who lived for many, many decades. You know, this doesn't necessarily happen overnight. Just say, okay, all's well, I'm all better. Then you get up and you go, ooh. Oh, no. It's not about that. It's like, I don't accept that pain. I know it's there, but I don't accept it as the truth. The truth is, all is well. So I get to this hospital, and I ended up staying in emergency from 6 o'clock at night to 8 o'clock the next morning. And I heard people complaining, and I wasn't too happy about that. I mean, they eventually pulled the curtain. I had my little cot and my little gown, and it was freezing cold, and they gave me a blanket, and I used the gown as a pillow. And that bed is very uncomfortable, by the way. And I have my sugar water, and you know, it's getting into the wee hours. And my wife eventually went home. She stayed for quite a while, but you know, she hadn't eaten. The cats hadn't eaten. We can't. We're not going to do that to the cats, you know. So I'm lying there, and there's people moaning and people crying. And there's the one person that always seems to be who's yelling out things, and nobody knows what he's saying, and he's just, and it's not stopping, and someone's out there buffing the floor, and people are spilling things over. And then there's, of course, the one person who's just cursing everyone out, and the nurses don't know what they're doing. It's like, get me another nurse, and all that. And it's like, there will be no sleep tonight. It's not going to happen. So what comes of it, I find myself coming into this divine order, and just, I started to pray for all of them. I prayed for them. And not like, oh, I hope this, just in the light, you know, like what you do with the circle of light. Very, very much like that, just being conscious of it. And I don't know how long it was going on, but I suddenly realized I had this smile on my face. It was a strong smile. I don't know how long it had been there. And that I was at peace. I was concerned, but at the same time, I was at peace. And I said, well, this is the wellness working through me. You know, and that sugar water helps also. You know, it's like giving me some of that, but the body's missing. I think in part I was also dehydrated and all that kind of stuff. But you know, but as the night went on, I found myself just being receptive to that this is a good place for me to be. Because one thing, I'm not going to sleep, but I'm sure going to reevaluate myself. I'm going to have hours to lie there peacefully and reevaluate and take a deep look at some stuff. Actually bring up some deep grunge from that subconscious and see it, you know? And that was working, but there was a clarity too, because the clarity was not just getting me to see it, but it was showing me how to remove it, how unimportant it is, and how I cling to it. I'm the one embracing, I'm the one holding on to it, and that's the only reason why it stays there. So what do I do? How do I let it go? Well, in that clarity, it's like, well, you just let it go, you know, and that began to happen. And I felt this great cleansing taking place in myself while I'm lying there in the wee hours of the emergency. Oh, and also that all that sugar water, I had to get up like every half hour and go to the bathroom, you know. It was like, it's all the way at the other end of the emergency room, and it's a unisex bathroom, so it's like all of us there are sharing this. And of course I get up and I start thinking, okay, they're starting to make jokes. They're like, oh, here comes the old man again. How many times is he going to hit that before the morning? And of course, I don't know if anyone did that or not, but I came up with some good jokes while I was getting up and going again. So I'm not going to share them though, but they made me smile, you know. And I was realizing that's part of it. It's like, Craig, such foolishness. Knock it off. You have to go, get up, go, you know. And the morning came, and they had finally admitted me, and the bed was comfortable, and the blankets were warm, and people were coming in and taking care of me, and they're running some tests on me. And this one young man, I went for the x-rays, and I had this t-shirt on. I'm kind of a science nerd, so I have these like science nerd t-shirts, and then one says like, be like a proton, stay positive, you know. And it has this little atom, and the guy that's sitting there taking the x-rays, he goes, do you know, what are you, like a science teacher or something? And I said, yeah, in a sense. I said, I'm a minister, but I'm all about the science of it all. And he said, oh, well, that's cool. And he said, did you know that the atom is like 99% just empty space? I said, oh, really? I said, yeah. I said, the universe is too. And he said, yeah. And I was like, how big is, you know, this, we talk about the omnipresence of God and everything that's out there, what we can see today, billions of stars and a couple billion galaxies, and we know we're not even seeing hardly any of it, and it's 99% empty space? Wow. Wow. Do we have room to breathe or what? You know, it may not seem like it at times, but we do. So anyway, the day went on, and I got out the next evening. They were going to keep me, but I said, I feel pretty good, and I asked to talk to my doctor. The nurse went and talked, and she came back. She goes, you know, all the doctors, they're talking, and they said, yeah, they think it'd be okay for you to go home and do the rest of the outpatient stuff, and so you don't have to stay another night. And I was really glad, because it was Friday that I got out. And I'm like, I'm going to have to make some phone calls very shortly if I'm stuck in here this weekend. And, you know, I had this commitment today. I'm also a musician, and I played last night, but it was wonderful. It was just for 1 hour. It was a jazz thing, you know. Just so I sat in a chair and played Misty and Fly Me to the Moon, and then the DJ came out and I went home. So it worked out wonderfully, you know. And I'm standing here today, and I'm so grateful to be here. I would have really been bummed if I missed all this, you know. So life is amazing. And the thing that I want to point out about this is, I've had another time looking so deeply into the self and being able to see something and removing it immediately, but it was the exact opposite. I was out in Arizona, in Sedona, doing deep meditations, and there's the beautiful hills and with all the energy, and I was told we were right in the center point, that we were surrounded by five hills that were all this energy, and the meditating was so much easier, like nothing. I mean, it was just, I want to meditate, I'm there, I'm gone. I'm like, whoa, deep, and something was revealed to me. And I'm going to be honest with you, it wasn't words, and it wasn't so much a picture as much as it was just an abstract shape. And I said, oh, that's it. And it was like, yes, it is. And I said, well, let it go. That was 3 years ago, and what I was dealing with has not come back. Okay? So this is like, you'd say the opposite. Now I'm in the emergency room having the same experience. So this is my point, that it's not about negative, positive as in the sense of duality. It's about we were all having this indivisible experience, and we are individually having it, but it is an indivisible oneship. And when we stay to what the truth is, then it's about living in the truth and what I can learn and experience and evolve in, no matter what the situation is around me. Ideally, I'd rather have Sedona, meditating in Sedona, and not the emergency room. But that doesn't stop from truth just being truth. It's not going negative. Okay, Craig, you're in the emergency room. Sorry, can't show up for that, man. That's a bad vibe. I ain't going there. Doesn't work like that. You know, it just doesn't work that way. God just is. Love just is. Grace just is. Wisdom just is. And we live in the midst of love supreme. And the more we can just live that and accept it, and of course through faith have that, we live in this beautiful divine order. It's who we are. It's how we're made. You know, and out there when people get lost in all that stuff, they're these temptations, and they just throw people off. But it's, you know, it's so easy just to return. I just have to say, okay, caught myself getting there again. I'm returning. I'm walking away from it. Because that's the shadow. And the shadow really has no strength unless I say it does. But the light and the love is the absolute strength. And all you have to do is embrace it and be receptive to it. And that is absolutely how it works. And so when I read the stories of Acts and Ephesians, there was a movie came out not too long ago called The Apostle Paul. It's not bad. It's pretty close to these books. It's not too much Hollywood stuff in it. And they really go into talking about that. So I was glad to see something come out that was a little more like, you know, I saw a couple other movies over the years. I think one of Noah with the rock men who came to form and running around chase, or of Moses, who's has a little boy with a British accent saying, "I'm God and you've been messing things up." You know, I'm like, you must be kidding me. So I'm so glad that this movie came out and is a little more true to form. You know, it's just. So I recommend it, but it's powerful, these books, and to see their faith at work, that keeping in the divine order, keeping the grace and the love, you know, and staying in it. And of course, at this in this time, it was Paul's time to transcend. He was executed after 2 years. However, Luke and a lot of other folks left Rome and went to Greece, where folks of this thinking were far more accepted and allowed to live and breathe and just be. So, you know, like they say, be careful what you ask for. I was saying, well, what story am I going to bring to this service today? And here I got one for you, Craig. You can go to emergency, you know. But I'm grateful. And I think about the physicians and the orderlies and the nurses, and they were all wonderful. I was, you know, I'm very open to self-healing. I completely believe in it. I believe in many other ways to go about healing. Homeopathic ways, I think, are powerful. I've experienced them. But I think also of Eric's book, The Universe is Calling. It's like, let me just be receptive to doing what I have to do at the time when something is happening. If I have to go to the hospital, if I have to have the doctors and nurses, then let my ego not be in the way because, oh, wait a minute, no, I'm a practitioner. I don't go there. Yeah, I go there, you know. But I also know about the healing. I also see it working. And I want to keep evolving in that as I move along and just embrace truth more and more and more. You know, but I don't want my ego getting in the way. That's for sure. Anyway, so that's what I brought to this today of in the midst of love supreme, not just when everything's going well, but what about in those darker moments? Just stepping up and just continuing to practice, to find our path, to bring that in and realize that we're just living in the shadows at the moment and to keep in this absolute truth. Because I know it comes down to this. If I need help, okay. But I'm going to keep doing what I have to do too. I'm going to show up and do what I need to do, you know, and accept the help, embrace the help. You know. All right, that's what I have for this morning. And of course, as always, I'd like to close with these I Ams. If you care to join me and stand up, and we'll shout these out, which come from my book, Life, Living, and Fantastic Energy, which are a bunch of them are downstairs if you're interested. Okay. I am resourceful.
I am resourceful.
I am intelligent.
I am intelligent.
I am good.
I am good.
I am beautiful.
I am beautiful.
I am love.
I am love.
And I am loved.
And I am loved.
I am peace.
I am wisdom.
I am creative.
I am spiritual.
I am joyful.
I am positive.
I am strong.
I am happy.
I am successful.
I am harmonious.
I am energy.
I am light.
And I am blessed.
I am blessed.
And I love myself.
I love myself.
I love myself. Know this truth and it shall set you free. And so it is. Amen.